The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A new study by the ESRI has found that rural areas and disadvantaged communities are more likely to have negative attitudes towards immigration. But the findings also show that rural areas with high proportions of migrants have more positive views. So our reporter Josh Crosby has been looking into this and he joins me now. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Pat.
We know it has become one of the most divisive debates in recent years. So how accurate do you find that this report is in relation to the people that you meet? Because you're up and down the country all the time.
Yes. So look, covering like all different stories relating to immigration, be it people coming here to work and study or the asylum seeker and refugee element of migration, the one thing you can be sure of, Pat, is that views on this have certainly become more vocal, more heated and divisive. You could have one town, we say, one community, even a single street, and neighbours will be split on their opinions around immigration. And look, I know the frustration people have about access to services is genuine and seems across the board. We'll touch on that now in a minute when we focus on the rural impact. But something else I hear from people who would not be, I suppose, Pat, your usual suspects, if you like, just people I'm meeting out and about, is the anger around the number of homeless people in Ireland. And then this is then combined with perhaps maybe a disbelief or a sense of unfairness as to why the housing homeless crisis is not being addressed as a priority before adding further demand on these types of services.
Now, did you notice that people living in disadvantaged areas are more concerned about this, as the ESRI report suggests?
I would, Pat, yes. But that's not saying concerns are not coming from many different areas, social classes and demographics. One area that has been a focus point for immigration is Dublin's North Inner City. What you have here is a cluster of multinational companies, which obviously have a diverse workforce, but this was also one of the first, I suppose, flashpoints for protests outside IPAS centres when they really started to become a regular occurrence. I went down to East Wall to ask people living in the area how they are now feeling since the opening of the Gateway Integration Centre in 2022.
People are against it totally. Well, some people are, but people like myself are glad to have them here. They have to live somewhere, so I have no problem with it. But there are people in every area that have their problems.
And does that create tensions for yourselves
it
then,
can,
with your neighbours?
Between friends and neighbours and stuff like that, yeah. You start to fall out with people sometimes, but then you get over it because we've known each other for years, you know what I mean? But overall, they're grand.
There's about 15,000 people that have been for years, young women with their children living in B&Bs, still there. Something has to give if you're bringing in that amount of people and you're subsidising all of these people and your own people are suffering in these times.
And do you think,
what way do you want them to feel?
Do you think that's why maybe in more disadvantaged areas there's even more
of a
negative attitude?
Of course. If you're struggling, you're a young person with a young family struggling, or an older person struggling with all these bills every winter, and you look around and you see what's going on all around you, what way do you expect people to feel?
An awful lot of tension going on nowadays, as you know, because piles down to equality. Should be open doors for them. Find the solution, the balance of way for them. Half for the Irish, half for multinational people that want to come over, because the same happened in my situation, in my eyes, in my perspective. I would like the gates to be opened elsewhere too. Well, as you say, I work for the homeless, and I've been working for them over 20 years. Whether they're Irish people or multinational, they're still human beings at the end of the day.
I just feel that the government, they don't have a very good system. Okay, it is all right to bring people in and support them, but that can't go on forever. It can't financially last forever. It's costing millions and billions. I think Irish people are disillusioned at this stage with the politicians that we have.
As some of the locals in Dublin's North Inner City. Now, Josh, did you meet any groups trying to help asylum seekers to integrate into the community?
I did, Pat. So look, when everything was kicking off in the North Inner City around the use of the former office block, a group called East Wall Here For All was set up to offer, I suppose, different types of support to those who are arriving. It has a range of elements to it, and one part of this was up in the Mud Island Community Garden. I called in here to find out about the work they do with asylum seekers. Now look, it's a busy spot, people of all ages using the garden. It's like an allotment type of setup, but instead it's one big garden. And while I was there, I actually met with a woman who was taking part in one of the groups from Afghanistan, who was living in the former office block where the crowds gathered to protest in East Wall. She's now has refugee status and has left the IPAS centre. But I also met with the chairperson of the community garden, Natalie Crowley, and Natalie explains how it all started.
We started organising a closer collection in the garden, and then I got to meet some asylum seekers. Mostly it was Algerian, and I decided to maybe start an English class with them. And then I discovered that a lot of them had skills, good with their hands, people. And it happens that people in asylum seekers, they have to wait 6 months until they can work. And they need to speak English and they need to meet neighbors and they need to start building up their life.
And tell me about how beneficial this integration is, because people from all around the community, from different walks of life, will use the garden here.
Yeah. So the garden is a safe haven for a lot of people.
And have you found that some of the asylum seekers have built up connections through this, and maybe they've followed on with the skills they've picked up to continue into a workplace?
Definitely. Like, if you meet the people in the garden and you talk to them and you work with them, you just realize, like, they're not a threat. They're just a neighbor.
And you yourself, you've been here over 30 years. Your accent's not from the north inner city.
No, I speak French all the time, and so I have this accent.
And tell me, since you moved here, have you noticed how attitudes around immigration changed for better or for worse?
Well, as a French person, I think 30 years ago I was all the rage. Now, because there's many French people and many other nationalities, maybe I'm not that exotic anymore. But I think it's good. I think it brings a lot of diversity, a lot of richness to the area. And it's giving the opportunity to each person to bloom where they happen to be blown in.
And that's the chairperson of the Mud Island Community Garden, Natalie Crowley. Now, the study from the ESRI also has some findings about rural communities. So, Josh, where else did you go?
Yeah, so the study found that living in rural area was associated with having more negative attitudes towards immigration compared with living in an urban area. Now, Pat, there have been many flashpoints, we know, of tension across the country when it comes to hotels being taken over for international protection use. One such area is Kinnegad in Westmeath. So back in July 2022, around 150 international protection applicants were moved into the hotel. And from my understanding, on the 8th of August, the Ukrainians will be moved from here. Now, I saw emails myself that show that the hotel has now been offered to the International Protection Service to provide accommodation to people seeking international protection when the contract for Ukrainian accommodation ends. This offer is currently being appraised, so locals there have started protesting, and there's another demonstration planned for tomorrow evening. The local priest has come out to condemn the protests. He told a local paper that the protests are hate-filled and they're fueled by an ideology of anger. But I spent some time walking around Kinnegad yesterday, and I must say, a lot of people were annoyed with the situation.
It was sort of done underhand, like in the middle of the night, I think. The hotel was just closed down overnight without any notice or any consultation with anybody, and these unfortunate people were just turfed in here. And there's no facilities here in this small town for many of them, you know.
I think it's bang out of order. I think the whole putting the amount of predominantly men into a small community like Kinnegad, a small rural town like Kinnegad, where there's no infrastructure for them to do. They're hanging out in the park. They're intimidating the locals. Young girls are afraid to walk down the street. I mean, it's our community is not our community anymore.
And do you feel intimidated yourself?
Absolutely, yeah. I used to walk on the Royal Canal regularly. I'm afraid to walk on my own now.
There have always been men. Is it just because they're groups?
They've nothing to do. They've nothing to do. What are they doing all day? They're hanging around. But I'm not against them at all. They're entitled to a life and entitled to live. But there's nothing for them. What are they doing cooped up in the hotel with their clothes hanging out the window?
Frustration and annoyance.
Well, what are the main concerns? Or
safety. We don't know who's going into the hotel. Don't know where they're coming from. It's the unknown, really. The more just hang around the streets. It's unsafe now.
Is it just a feeling of unsafe?
It's more with the crowds hanging around. They're intimidating. It's not just like one or two. It's groups of three, four, five.
Some local residents in Kinnegad in County Westmeath. What has been the political response to the concerns articulated by people in the community, Josh?
Well, look, first off, if you take the North Inner City where we started, Pat, with this, this is where the Finance Minister, Pascal Dunhu's constituency is, and also the Leader of the Opposition, Mary Lou MacDonald. So you can imagine when they're out canvassing, it's certainly an issue that gets raised on many doorsteps. Mary Lou MacDonald said on this very day last year that more IPAS centres should be in better off areas. So in one way, the findings of the survey are no surprise. People who are already feeling the pinch and feel they are less well off when it comes to services and resources are less positive about the potential for more demand on the services within their community. When I was in Kinnegad, I met with local Labour councillor Dennis Leonard. Dennis says it's unclear what will happen to the hotel, and they are expecting a meeting with department officials over the future of the building.
Now we're told that in August, early August, that the last of the Ukrainians have been moved out and that it will be completely for IPAS residents. But the contract currently has not been renewed, and we're hoping that that won't happen. This is our only hotel in the town, has been for many, many years, so there's not a single bed in Kinnegad. We're only getting a library now for the first time in our history, a full library and a town park, so we have very little infrastructure here for the 3,000 people that are here. You know, doctors can be hard to get an appointment. You know, there's one GP surgery here where there's a few doctors, but there's definitely a lack of employment. So most people from here commute to Dublin, to Mullingar, to other places for employment. So there, to move in 150 single men, they're not going to find jobs here because they're just not here. So really, we do need to improve the services. As for transport, we've been trying to get Cluken Station over the road here open for years. There's a huge lack of public transport, which we're trying to deal with. There's no secondary school here in the town.
This new research has shown that disadvantaged areas, rural areas, feel that they're being hard done by in a way. So do you think that areas that don't already have resources shouldn't be having to accommodate new arrivals? Do you think, should it be spread out into areas that are better well served?
Well, we argue from day one, there's large sections of South Dublin, there's towns with 5 and 6 hotels that were never touched, and yet you have a town like Kinnegad with one hotel and that was completely taken over. The fear is that it could become a permanent IPAS centre, and that's the last thing anybody wants, because that's what the government promised it wouldn't be. Your only hotel would no longer be used for that purpose. I would see more and more people getting highly annoyed. The problem with protests is that an awful lot of people join them who are not from the town, who have a very different agenda to local people who just want their local facilities, you know, to be built up appropriately, sustainably. They want their hotel back in Kinnegad. They don't want a situation where Ireland does not take in immigration of any description.
And that's Westmeath Labour Councillor Dennis Leonard ending that report from Josh Crosby.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.